Matthew chapter 13 and verse 2. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 2. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Amen. Powerful, very powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 28, turn back in the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2 and 3. And while I'm thinking about it, please be in prayer for Brother Scott in Sheridan, Arkansas, our pastor there. Has a very serious medical condition, and we want to pray for him and ask the Lord to help him. Amen. Will you do that? Amen. All right. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2, And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Amen. I want to talk about blessed in the field. Praise God. Blessed in the field. I want to be blessed by God. I don't want to just halfway live for God. Halfway make it to heaven. Just halfway do everything that I need to do. Cut corners here, cut corners there. But I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to make it. And I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Praise God. And I want to talk about blessed in the field. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you for truth. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts. Speak to each and every one of us tonight. Lord, touch us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I don't plan to preach a long time, but I do want to bear my heart here tonight. You know, when we look around in the world, oftentimes we miss the obvious. And when Jesus stood in the boat and said, a sower went forth to sow, he was speaking words that the Bible says had been hidden from the ages. From the beginning of the earth, he was revealing great, great secrets. Amen. And tonight, if we can get a hold of the understanding of these secrets that God has for us, I believe that we will be very blessed. It is so true that we can look around us and not see the obvious. The other day during the during the taco dinner, Sister Kimberly needed something that was sitting on a countertop right in plain sight, and she said, would you guys get that and bring it over here for me? And four of us men were standing and looking at this countertop, and we could not find what she was looking for. Amen. Sometimes the things that are the most obvious are the things that we miss. Praise God. Or it's just a guy thing. Maybe the latter, praise God. When we look at the world in which we live today, amen, there are so many, many things. We take our road systems for granted. We take our homes oftentimes for granted. We take our vehicles for granted. We look at our world and we really don't see the obvious. We look at the large cities. I've only been in a few large cities. I've been through Houston, which I think is the second largest city in America, something along that lines. And I've been in New York City, that is the largest city in North America. And it is quite the situation. You can walk across the streets of New York City and Manhattan Island that stretches down by the Hudson River, and you can look across and see the Statue of Liberty there. You can go look down this one street here, and it will be skyscrapers almost as far as you can see. And then you turn and you look this way, and you turn and look that way, and turn and look this way, and it's skyscrapers everywhere you look. You walk another block over, it's the same thing. Another block, another block, another block. And before you know it, you can actually get lost in the forest of skyscrapers. Amen. If you ever get a chance to go there, I would encourage you to go there. I've been there at least a half a dozen or more times and driven through that many times. And I'll tell you tonight, I really don't have any desire to go back there again. Amen. Now, if I do, well, praise God, then I will, because it just is a little bit overwhelming, the size and the magnitude of our world. When you come into New York City from the east, from the city of Boston or from the east, you'll probably be traveling on Route 95, and Route 95 comes right through the Bronx and comes all the way through and goes down through Manhattan Island and then across the George Washington Bridge, which probably has four lanes of traffic going each way and two levels of traffic on that bridge. And then you get over onto the other side, the New Jersey side, and you'll have about six or seven lanes going each direction, three or four lanes just for trucks and three or four lanes just for cars. And traveling every day, constantly, continually, never changing. Amen. You can go to the Holland Tunnel and go from the New Jersey side over into New York City, and you'll travel about a mile down underneath the Hudson River in that tunnel, and it seems like you're going down and you're never going to get to the bottom. Then finally you get to the bottom, and then you think you're never going to get to the top again. Amen. It's just a massive situation. You can go to the smaller cities like Boston. You can go to other cities in the world, which I have not been to, but I believe one of the largest cities is Hong Kong, and millions and millions and millions of people that live in these cities. Every day they live there, and they do their thing. I heard recently, it's been a few months ago now, that in Beijing, China, that there is such a growth of people and so many massive numbers of people that there was a traffic jam on the highway in Beijing, and the traffic jam lasted for 10 days. Amen. And folks were jammed up on the highway. I don't know what you would do. I guess you just walk away, come back in a few days and see if your car's ready to go. I really don't know. I don't want to live in that kind of a place, but people live in those kinds of places. And we cannot really imagine tonight when we look at like cities like Boston that have their prestigious colleges and their universities and their big edifices to the government system that is there. They say that in the city of Boston alone, that there are 300,000 freshmen that come to that city every year to start their college education. Many of them coming from other countries, flying into the international airport on a 747 or on some other airplane that they are flying on as they come from their country to America. Amen. We look around us and we see the beauty. If you ever have the chance to go to Washington, Washington D.C., and view the White House and stand outside that fence and look at that historical building and to go to the monument there and the Capitol building, walk into the rotunda of the Capitol building and see all the old ancient paintings on the walls and on the ceiling. They say that we are a country that is not Christian, but if you go to the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., you're going to see all kinds of Christian paintings all over the walls. We are a Christian nation. We were founded and are founded upon a belief in God. Amen. And in order to get around in that city, there is so much and so little parking spots that really the only way to travel around in Washington, D.C. is to go on the subway system. The subway system is probably at least 100 feet below the ground and with gigantic concrete ceiling with squares that are recessed. It looks like you're going into a 2000 Odyssey or something like that, into the future, and you go through the electronic system and you get on the car and it takes off. It runs quietly and silently back and forth, and you can get off and go wherever you want to go. We live in a very awesome country today. Amen. We live in a country where when you get up in the morning, you go in the bathroom and you take a shower and there's hot water. Amen. Have you ever just said thank you, Jesus, for hot water? I have. Amen. Because I just can't imagine not living like that. One of the greatest things that have ever happened in some villages in other countries is that they dug a well where they could have good, clean water. Amen. And that is the well for the whole village. But tonight we can go to the tap and we can get a glass full of water. We can cook our food on a stove that is either electric or natural gas. Some of us have propane barbecue grills on the back porch, amen, where we can get some of our ribs. And Troy's going to get excited here in a few minutes, praise the Lord. And barbecue or smoke those ribs or whatever you want to do. And we can go to the grocery stores. Have you ever thought about this? Amen. We go to the grocery store and whatever we want, we just go to the shelf, pick it up, walk out, scan our card, and we go our way. Praise God. Amen. It's becoming so common. I remember my children when they were younger. We want this. Well, we don't have any money. Well, just write a check. Just write a check. That's all you need to do is write a check, and you can get whatever you want. Amen. Well, I'm really belaboring the point here tonight, but we can go to a grocery store, find just about anything we want. If we don't find what we want, we just get a hold of the manager and tell them, I want this, and they'll order it for you. And if they can't get it for you, you just go online and order it, and before you know it, they're going to have it shipped to your door, and you open up the package, and there it is. Praise God. Well, praise God. Well, on that line of thinking, we may have another fundraiser for the church that isn't going to cost anybody anything or take any of your time, and that is getting 5% of your purchases on Amazon. Amen. All your Christmas purchases, if you sign up for the church, we'll get 5% to go to our building fund. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Well, praise the Lord, it is. And it's a system that is already set up and in place. Amen. We can go to the grocery store. We can go to a restaurant. Amen. We can just go pull up into a parking space in our ultra-modern car, amen, that has a more powerful computer than the one that was in the spaceship that went to the moon. Amen. With a digital readout on the front of the dash that says, back up or go forward or you're here, or turn right, or turn left, and all of that. We were out traveling, and there was a spot where my phone wasn't working quite right, and I couldn't do the GPS, and so I said, we have technology, and I reached down in there, and I got my other GPS system, and I put it in and plugged it in, and it worked right and told us where to go. Turn left, go right, you're going too fast, you're going too slow, and it's all set up. We live in a wonderful world today. Praise God. I know there's a lot of problems, but I'll tell you, if you just look a little bit below the surface of the problems, there's a whole lot of good going on around. There's a lot of good and exciting things that are happening. Amen. Pull up there at the restaurant in your ultra nice vehicle. Amen. And put it in reverse and back into your parking space. Look at the dash and it'll tell you what's behind you. And it'll show you which direction you're going to go. If you're going to hit a car or not hit a car. Amen. They've already got just about the whole world mapped out. And all you've got to do is go on your computer and type in Google, and you can find any place on the planet. You can find the house that you live in. They've already taken pictures of it from a satellite in space. Amen. That's where we're at today. And now they're sending up more satellites. They have a new system that they're putting in place. And there's going to be several hundred satellites that are going to be positioned around the whole world. And it's going to be a brand new, ultra-fast, higher capacity system than what we have today. And they're putting it in place right now. Amen. They're sending them up regularly right now to get this all in place. Walk into the restaurant, and they will say, it's going to be a 5-minute wait. Here, take this little device. I call it my back rub. Amen. Because when it starts vibrating, it really does help your back a little bit. Praise God. Sit down at the table, and the waiter will have a little thing that he's got in his hand and say, what would you like? Toot, 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 toot. Just touch the screen, and before you know it, your food appears, and then they say, all you got to do is take that chip card that you have in your pocket and just stick it in this thing, and it'll ask you, do you want to pay the bill in full? How do you want to do this? And you can just toot, 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 and before, in just a few seconds, your bill is paid for, and you get up and you leave and go home to your nice, comfortable, air-conditioned, heated, amen, room or home, wherever you live. Praise God. Aren't we blessed tonight? Amen. We're blessed. We're real blessed. But the obvious is sometimes what we miss. Amen. And we could look at the kingdom of God. And folks, we are just so blessed here tonight to feel what we feel in this place. Amen. We're blessed here tonight to have a nice church to come to. Amen. We're blessed here tonight to have a building that has lights and the air conditioning is on and it feels good in here. Amen. We've got, in the wintertime, it's coming soon, we've got a heater in here, and all we've got to do is walk over and flip a switch. That's all we got to do, is just flip a switch, hit the buttons a couple of times, and all of a sudden the system begins to heat the building for us. And so when we walk in, it gives everybody their opportunity to complain, amen, that it's too hot or it's too cold, amen. And very, very rarely do we have the comment that says, brother, it's just right. Amen. And we are blessed here tonight. We're blessed to have a place to preach. We're blessed tonight to have a wonderful sound system. Amen. And men that know how to operate it. And it just sounds so good. Everybody that comes here says, my, y'all have a good sound system and everything is going good. Probably not everybody agrees with that, but I agree with that. Praise the Lord. And we're never going to get it exactly perfect, but we've got it set up where we've got it wireless now. Amen. and we're getting ready to put internet in the church. Praise God. Wi-Fi internet. So when we have our coffee and donut session, you can do your Wi-Fi and your coffee and your donuts at the same time. Some of you are looking, well, praise God. Amen. And we got it set up wireless, so the sound man can walk anywhere in the building and adjust the sound system from a little iPad, amen, or AirPad, or whatever kind of pad it is, a rocket pad, I don't know what it is. But Brother Reed said this is what we needed, so I went to Walmart and got it, amen. And you guys got it figured out, but it's all wireless, amen. I'll tell you what, we're blessed here tonight, we really are. And we're blessed to have a place to preach. We're blessed to have a nice van in which we can go pick people up for church in. And we can take the young people on trips. And we can go to special services. Amen. And just recently, we were on a trip and one of the tires went out on it. We made it just a little bit past Andover, and I'm glad that it happened then, but a big old bubble came out on the tire, and the whole van started shaking and a rattling, and so we pulled into the Quick Trip, and there it was. It was a bad tire, and we realized that the rest of the tires were not in very good shape either. So we just made arrangements. We had the van, taken to a shop, and we got brand new tires on the van. Praise God. What a convenience. I'll tell you what, I'd rather go to a service that way than to get on a horse and ride to the service. I'd rather do that than go in a covered wagon. Amen. Or an open wagon, for that matter. I'll tell you what, we're just really blessed. All we do is we get in the van, we put a key in and turn it, and it starts for us. And we've got gas stations everywhere. All you got to do is pull in and fill it up with fuel and continue on down the road. Amen. And there's a little button on the side. When you push the gas pedal, it goes forward. The more you push it, the faster it goes. The less you push it, the slower it goes. But you get it to the right speed, and all you do is just push a button like that. And all of a sudden, the whole system takes over, and you can just sit back and cruise. It's called cruise control. Amen. It's cruise. Praise God. Kind of like a fellow that I saw today. We were headed to Wichita, and he was in his caddy. Amen. He was in his cool caddy, and he had the trunk tied down with a piece of wire, and man, he was riding high, and he was leaning over. His head was right in the middle of the car, and I said to my wife, he's doing the Detroit lean right there. He just laying over. He's cool, man. And he was headed somewhere. Well, praise God. Just living high on the hog. Amen. Way up on the back. Praise God. We're blessed tonight. We're really blessed. We really are. Praise God. Amen. Just don't get to the place where you're doing the South Philly slide. You might get yourself a ticket. Amen. That's where you come up to the stop sign, just slow her down a little bit, look both ways, and slide through the intersection. Amen. That's what they call the South Philly slide. And you can't do that on a horse. Amen. You can't do that in a covered wagon. It just doesn't work that way. Praise God. But we're blessed tonight. I'm just trying to make a point that what we have came from someplace. Praise God. The obvious is sometimes something that we miss in the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God. Amen. The physical kingdom of this world. Amen. God designed it all to come from the field. And when I talk about the field tonight, I'm talking about the harvest field. I'm talking about the minerals in the ground and those mines that they have that they take the ore out of the ground. I'm talking about the resources that are in the ocean. I'm talking about the factory that you live or that you work in. Amen. I'm talking about the places of not commerce, but the places where the basic materials are melted down, where the basic materials are harvested from the field. Amen. And it all comes down to the field. Praise God. It really does. The very fact that we have a church here tonight is that somebody went out into the field and began to work. Amen. That's why we have what we have here tonight. That's why we have a nice pulpit. Praise God. That's why we have nice chairs and nice pews and lights and heat and air conditioning. Amen. It's because somebody went out into the field and they began to harvest what was in the field. Praise God. If we don't get a hold of the concept here, we're going to miss out on everything that God has for us. But I'm telling you, what we have here tonight is very limited. God wants to bless us with so much more than what we have right now. Well, praise God. God wants to give us so much bigger church than what we have tonight. He wants to bless your life with so much more than what you have tonight. Amen. He's just looking for somebody that'll get up and go out in the field and get involved in the work of the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise God. The steel for the skyscrapers came out of a mine where a man was working in the field. The food that's in the grocery store was harvested by somebody out in a field. Amen. It was brought forth by somebody that planted seeds year after year after year. Amen. And blessed the world and blessed the cities and blessed the grocery stores and the restaurants and all of that. I'm telling you tonight, if we don't understand this principle, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. Amen. I've got a nephew that likes beekeeping. He's into bees, and he's got about 60 different beehives. And he sells them, and he goes, and if you've got a bee problem, he'll take care of it for you. If you've got bees inside of your house, he'll go get them for you. And he's quite the bee guy, and he knows what to do with them and all that. And the truth of the matter is that those workers that go out into the field and get their pollen and bring it back to their place to supply their needs for the winter, actually, if it were not for bees, there would not be a pollination of at least 30% of the food supply that we have in our country. If it was not for that little bitty bee that was flying, that would fly several miles. In fact, I think it's more than 100 miles to come up with at least 1 ounce of honey. Amen. That can travel for several miles and go out and gather a little bit of pollen and bring it back to their beehive. Does not realize that the pollination process is actually bringing forth a better crop as the plants are pollinated by the bees. Sometimes we overlook the important things and the little things. They're very concerned because of the lack of bees and the pollination that takes place because of those little creatures that God made. Amen. And oh, God, help me here tonight. I don't want to get off onto something crazy here. But if you look at the beehive, all the worker bees that go out are females. Amen. They go out. They all are working together. They don't argue with each other. They don't fight with each other. They go out and they work in the field and they bring the pollen in. Amen. God made a system and a way so that our life could be sustained upon this earth, but not only sustained, but that we could have cities that have 20, 30, 50 million people in that one city. and it could survive, and it could flourish, and it could grow. And we would have the resources to pave miles and miles and miles of roads, and build hundreds and thousands and ten thousands of bridges so that we can cross rivers and cross lakes. Amen. To build spaceships that go up into space. Amen. To build satellites and everything that we have here today. It all comes down to those that are working in the field. Because if we don't have those that are working in the field, then we are going to run out of supplies. Amen. We're going to run out of the resources that we need to grow, the resources that we need to expand. Praise God. Now y'all are getting quiet on me here tonight, but I'm telling you what, I feel this strongly in my heart. Amen. God gave us a promise. Amen. He gave us the wisdom of the ages when he said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Amen. And when the sower went forth to sow, things began to happen. Until he began to sow, there was nothing happening. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of a church where nothing is happening. Well, praise God. I don't want to just come and mark time. I don't want to come and just feast on the accomplishments of the past. Praise God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to pastor a dead, dry, dull, boring church. I don't want to pastor people that don't care about the field. Amen. Well, I know that's a strong statement tonight, but I'm telling you what, if we don't get out in the field, we're going to die. We will die of starvation. Praise God. We will die for lack of things that we need in our lives. Amen. While God has prepared a miraculous way. He has. And if I would have thought about it, I would have gotten some seeds. But you just imagine one seed. We went to Mesa Verde, and they had a little museum there. And in that museum was a little display of ancient corn seeds. Seeds that they had found in those cliffs that the Indians had left behind. There were some of those seeds that were hundreds and hundreds of years old. And if we were to just take the time to plant those seeds, they would begin to grow and they would produce the original crop that was produced hundreds of years ago. That's the miraculous nature of seeds. Amen. In the creation of God, when God created all things, he created the seed-bearing plants. Amen. And he created something that was truly marvelous, truly miraculous. Amen. So that the world could be blessed a million and a billion times over. Amen. The world is now 7+ billion people on this planet. And I know many of them are hungry, but I'm telling you why they're hungry. They're hungry because of their political system. They're hungry because of their governmental system. This earth has the capacity to feed more than 7 billion people. Praise God. There is enough miraculous power in the seed that God created to feed a world of 7 billion people. What we're lacking is sowers. Amen. What we're lacking is not ability. We are lacking the desire to do it. Amen. Even in our country, the government will pay some farmers money not to plant their field. Amen. To leave it blank. Amen. So that they can regulate the price of the commodity. If we had to, we could ramp it up. And in one season, we could double we could double our output, at least, amen, with the abilities that we have right before us. And folks, here we sit tonight in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual kingdom of God, and we have the supernatural seed of the Word of God. We've got it. You've got it. If you've got a Bible, pick it up and hold it up so I can see it tonight. Amen. Look at all the seeds that we have. Amen. That's your bag of seeds right there. Amen. That's what you're filling your seed planter with, is what you've got right there. And it's never going to run dry. It'll always be more and more and more and more. What God is looking for is somebody to take that word and to give it to somebody else and to sow that word in their heart. We're never going to see miracles till we start sowing. But when we start sowing, we're going to see miracles. When we start sowing, we're going to see things begin to expand. We'll see a new building. We'll see a bigger van. Praise more vans. Amen. We'll see different ministries begin to come up. It doesn't just happen because we pray. It happens when we go out in the field and we do something with what we have. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Aren't you thankful for what you feel here tonight? Aren't you thankful for the good music? Aren't you thankful for the ability to come to the house of God? I'll tell you how it got here. It got here because somebody went out into the field. Praise God. Praise God. I feel something moving here tonight. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It says shall. Everybody said shall. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. There's different seeds in the world. There's the seed of the Word of God. And then there is the seed of Satan. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Amen. The seed of the serpent is the lies of the devil, the lies of the world, the lies of your mind and of your flesh that says, well, life is just a big party. And we're just going to have fun and we're going to sin. And it really doesn't matter what we do. We're living in a free country. We can do whatever we want to do. But I'm here to tell you tonight, my friend, that what you sow is what you are going to reap. If you sow a corn seed, you're going to reap corn, and it will be 100% of the time. If you sow okra, you're going to reap okra. If you sow tomatoes, you're going to reap tomatoes. And go down the list with anything that is seed-bearing, and it will always, always produce the same. It will produce after its kind. There is no way possible that you can sow sin in your life and reap happiness. There is no way that you can sow sin in your life and live in sin and reap joy. Amen. There is no way that you can reap the benefits of good things when you sow bad things in your life. Well, come on, somebody help me here tonight. It does make a difference how you live. It does make a difference what you do with your life. Amen. Well, praise God. It makes a big difference because what you sow is what you reap. And what we will reap is the whirlwind. Amen. We will reap the muddy waters that are stirred up by sin. And we will reap depression. We will reap anger. Amen. We will reap constant frustration. We will reap fear. Amen. That says, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But there is another seed. Amen. And it is the seed of the woman. It is the seed of God in this world. Praise God. The seed of the Word of God. the word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. And so when the word of God is sown, it will always produce life. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. There is truth in the word of God. There is truth in this Bible. Amen. There is truth that when it is sown, it will always produce life. Well, praise God. You say, well, I tried it once and it didn't work. I'm telling you, you just got to keep sowing, because the word will produce life. The word will produce life. Amen. Well, I talked to somebody and they didn't accept it. I'm telling you tonight, my friend, it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. I think sometimes life just tries to test us to see if we are really convinced of this truth. And you talk to somebody about the Lord. I remember when I first came to God, I had more people turn away than I was able to bring to God. And actually got to a place of frustration where I said, it doesn't work. The devil had told me it doesn't work. But thank God for a godly pastor, for a man of God. And he convinced me that if you will sow, you will reap. If you will sow, you will reap. Amen. And so I didn't stop sowing. I continued to sow. And it wasn't very long until the harvest began to come. And then I became so excited and so convinced. Amen. I'm teaching Bible studies right now, and I haven't seen any results from those Bible studies. But do you think I'm discouraged to the point of giving up? The answer is no, I'm not discouraged to the point of giving up. Amen. Because I know the power of the Word of God. I know the power of the seed of the Word of God. And if you're becoming discouraged, I want to rebuke that discouragement tonight. Because it is not founded upon truth. It is founded upon feeling and emotion. Amen. The word of God is the seed that if we will sow it, yes, it's going to land on wayside ground. Yes, it's going to land on stony ground. Yes, it's going to land on thorny ground. But the Bible says that it will also land on good ground. And when it lands on good ground, good things are going to begin to happen. Well, praise God. Good things are going to begin to happen. Because when you sow on the thorny ground, amen, thorns don't produce much. You say, well, you know, that person got offended by something that the pastor said or whatever. Or they came to church and they didn't like what they felt, and so they're not coming back. Hey, listen, don't ever get to the place where you begin to lay blame in other places. Because I believe, and I know that there are churches that have problems, and there's no life there. I know that. I understand that. But I'm telling you tonight, what the devil wants to do is to tell you that this seed does not work in every situation. Give it up. Don't do it anymore. Just back off. Amen. Start to back off. I'm telling you what, God doesn't want us to be backing off. He wants us to get more seed in our sack and to continue to sow the seed. Because when it lands on good ground, brother, I'm telling you, it's going to produce 100-fold. It's going to produce 60-fold. It's going to produce 30-fold. Amen. And that one good ground is so much better than all of the others that it's worth waiting for. Praise God. God waits for the precious fruit of the earth. You know why? Because not everything is going to produce precious fruit. It's not. It's going to produce thorns. It's going to produce rocky ground. It's going to produce wayside ground. But thank God tonight we have a seed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But listen to this. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Everybody said life. Life everlasting. And the next verse is very key. And I'm going to finish here tonight. The next verse is very key. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Be not weary in well doing. And that's the trouble sometimes that we run into. What we have tonight, folks, is the ingredients for revival. I feel like I'm coming up against a wall here, but I'm just gonna break through that wall tonight. And if I can get one person here tonight to believe what I'm preaching, I will feel like I am a success. Amen. Because revival is for the church. Amen. Miracles are for the church. Praise God. But if all we do is sit around and compare our sacks of seeds, if all we do is come up with the, you know, I know how it is. Oh, well, I don't want to do it because that sack doesn't match my clothes. Yeah, I'm wearing blue, but it's a brown sack, and that doesn't go together. So I'm not going to go. Yeah, well, your sack's bigger than mine. And so, you know, I don't like that, so I'm not going to go. You go ahead and do it. And I'll tell you what, if we stop sowing, amen, with faith in our hearts and belief that God and God's Word is going to produce something miraculous in our life, I'm telling you what, all we're going to do is be fussing over this and fussing over that and biting and devouring one another. And amen, I'm telling you tonight, church, that's not the will of God. It is not the will of God, but it is the will of God that we are laborers together with God. Amen. That we go out into the world and sow the seed of the Word of God and just let it go. Amen. Just let it go. You say, well, I can't let it go. I've got to do more. Yes, well, thank God for those that want to do more. But folks, I'm telling you tonight, can I just give you a little bit of a secret here? You cannot save anybody. I had to come to that understanding. I cannot save a single person. You know why? Because I'm not the Savior. There's only one Savior. You know what I am? I had to come to this, and you're going to have to come to this. I'm just a servant. I'm a sower. I'm called to be a sower. I'm just going to go out and sow the seed of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the visitor this morning. Amen. Deontay brought a man to church this morning, and he may be interested in a Bible study. You know who he is? You know who I thought he was?
I thought he was a Gideon.
He's a mechanic. Fixes his car. Fixes Deontay's car. Hey, man, I want you to come to church. We went the other day to do some alteration. Some of the hem in one of my pant legs came out, and it just fell down. And then another pair of pants had a cuff on it, and I stepped on it accidentally and ripped it open a little bit, so I had to take it to a place. And my wife found a place in Andover, and we went in, and I just had to say something about the Lord. Amen. I'm not going to let that lady go by my pathway without saying something about God. And I told her, I said something about church. And, oh, what church do you go to? What kind of church do you go to? Are you Catholic? I said, no, I'm not. I'm Pentecostal. Have you ever heard of Pentecostal? No, I've never heard of that. She's an Asian lady. And she said, I'm Catholic. And I said, oh, well, that's fine. And you know, I just struck up a conversation with her. And when I go back to pick up my pants, guess what? I'm going to invite her to church. Or I'm going to give her a card and say, you know what? If you're ever interested in a Bible study, I would love for you to look at this and consider this. Oh, no. If I get rid of my seeds, then I'm not going to have anything for myself. Yeah, if I spend all my time doing things for God, I won't have any time to do anything for myself. I'm telling you tonight, you're missing the miraculous. You're bypassing the miraculous. Oh, well, you know, I see so-and-so's taught a Bible study, nothing came out of it. So-and-so taught a Bible study and nothing came out of it. Amen. Nathan, do you even know why you're here tonight? Yeah, because you want to be. That's good. Somebody went to your dad's home and taught him a Bible study. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know why you're here tonight? Because there was a day in the life of your mom and dad when they heard the word of God and they understood it and they said, we believe this. That's why you're here tonight. Amen. You know why you're here tonight? Little Miss Golden Hair. Isn't that beautiful hair? I saw that today at the hospital and I thought, dear Lord, when did it turn golden color? You know why you're here? Because down there by the post office, no, actually it's down there by the old city hall, there's an old house. I don't know if your mother's ever showed it to you. There's an old house on the corner. Has she ever showed it to you? There's an old house there. And Brother and Sister Worse went into that house and taught your mother and your grandmother a Bible study. Do you remember that, Rapidy? She don't even remember it, I don't think. She was in middle school. Years and years ago, somebody got the seed out. And when the word of truth came forth, there was troubles and there was problems and situations arose. And it looked like your mother wasn't going to be coming to church and your grandmother didn't believe it and all of that. But look what the Lord has done. You know why you're here tonight? Yeah, you know why. Because there was a tall, skinny, dark-headed guy that knocked on your mother's door, that went there two or three times because I couldn't catch her. She was busy working as a manager or something at a Quick Trip or something like that. And finally the day came when Kenny and Kim and Kimberly, praise the Lord, they showed up at the house and we showed up there at the same time. And Kenny looked at me and he didn't like me at first. You know what? You can't expect everything to be smooth and clean and all that. But I'll tell you what, when it was all said and done and Kenny was getting to the end of his life and I drove down to Winfield and went past the barking dogs and sat down and taught him a Bible study in his home, I'm telling you what, that's why you're here tonight, is because somebody didn't give up because of problems. Sissies give up because of problems. Snowflakes give up because of problems. Well, it ain't working out for me. I'm depressed about it. I ain't going to do this anymore. You're just a snowflake. Come on, smile just a little bit. Oh, God help us. We need some folks that are tanned from being in the sun. What do? I'm a sower. I'm not worried about the sun. I'm not going to wake up in the morning and say, there's a lion in the street. I can't go to work. It's too hot. It's not time to sow. Oh, God, help us. It's always time to sow. Jesus said, lift up your eyes on the field. They're white, ready for harvest. God can fill somebody tonight with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. God can heal somebody here tonight. Amen. Why? Because there's something being sown that is spiritual, and it's supernatural and it's powerful. Ruth found favor in the field. Amen. Jesus said that the catching away would be when people are in the field. Two will be in the field, one taken and the other left. I'll tell you, I don't want to be left behind because I'm sitting in my air-conditioned house. Enjoying the comforts of life. Amen. I want to be in the field, working for God, doing something for the kingdom of God. Amen. I know you can't do everything, and I know that there are some things that are limited here tonight, but I'm here to tell you, anybody here can take a sack of seeds and throw it out. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to have talent. You don't have to have ability. All you have to have is the desire and faith to go out and do it. Let's stand together tonight. And if you're here tonight and you've been sowing some things in your life and it has produced heartache and trouble, I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a different thing that you can begin to sow in your life. If you'll begin to sow spiritual seeds. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? What I mean is just start coming to church. Amen. And just by coming to church, there's going to be seeds. There's seeds all over the place. And many of them won't even connect with you, but then all of a sudden one of them will connect with you. Amen. And you'll see yourself. And you'll see the direction of your life. And you'll say, I need that. I want that. But if you're sowing the seeds of sin, the Bible says that he that sinneth shall die. The penalty of sin is death. It's not a physical death only, but it's a spiritual death for eternity. Eternity without God. An eternity in a lake of fire. An eternity that the Bible calls hell. No time. Day and night, the Bible says. But there's an opportunity. Oh God, we have such an opportunity here tonight. We have such an opportunity. I have been given something that many, many hundreds of generations have never had. And that's a Bible. How can I get discouraged? How can I say, oh, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm getting discouraged. You know, this is happening, that's happening, this person, that person, yada, 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 yada. I've got something here that will never change. Deontay, you can't stop revival. If I'm out sowing the seed, you can't stop it. Amen. Gavin, you can't stop it. Sylvester, you can't stop it. David, there's no way. Daryl, there's no way. Amen. We've had backsliders come back here and say, I said to one young lady that came a year or 2 years ago, I said, it's good to see you. Did somebody invite you? No, she said, I just wanted to see if you are all still here. And you know what? We're still here. And we're still excited. And there's new faces. And there's new people. Praise God. Go ahead and make your excuses. But I'm telling you tonight, that's all it is an excuse. I've been given some talents. Some one, some two, some five. And the talent is right here. And if I bury it in the ground, oh, well, I'm just a private Christian. I'm a private child of God. I'm not outward. Oh, friend, if I gave you $1 million tonight, you'd jump and shout and run the aisles. You'd be so excited about that. Oh, well, yeah, but it's just the Bible. I mean, I read it. I read my Bible once every 3 or 4 months. Oh, God. Let us get a hold of this principle here tonight. When we walk out the door of the church, there's ground waiting for seed. God made the ground to receive seed. God put people on the earth to hear the gospel. Amen. God puts you beside the people that you work with. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, well, I can't because. Oh, yes, you can. If you'll just pray, God will show you a way to do it. Amen. And if you sow there and you don't reap, you're going to reap somewhere else. Because he said you'll reap where you have not sown, but you're never going to reap if you don't sow. Amen. Let's pray. Can we do that right now? And if you have a need in your life, I want you to come right now. Because the Word of God is true and the Word of God is real. And when it is sown, miracles take place. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name. That's it. That's it. Go ahead and come on. It's all right. Nobody's going to embarrass you. We're just praying together and asking for God's help. Amen. Why don't you come on? In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you, God, put this burden upon us. Put the concept and the reality of this upon us. Help us tonight. Touch us tonight. Make us into sowers. Sowers of the seed. You're the one that produces the result. It's your seed. It's your miracle. We're just simply the sower of the Word of God. Help us. Help us. Touch us. Help us. Touch us. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.